Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show on this July 4th, Independence Day, 240 years ago. We became nation we are, and I salute all those who gave their lives for my freedom and for your freedom and for our freedom in general. And I think it's time that as you enjoy the barbecues that you're going to, the fireworks shows, and all the things that you're going to do today, that you take a moment to thank the people that made this all possible and that continue to make it possible. And hopefully we will become a less complacent nation and bring back the America that was fought for 240 years ago. I think that we have somewhat become a little bit too involved in other things and have forgotten what really made this country the greatest place on earth. And I think it's time you rethink the things that we do and the way that we vote and the way that we go after things and the way that we let things slide by and we actually go after the America we all love. Because at the end of the day, this is the greatest country on earth. Always has been, always will be. But we have to do our part to make sure that we stay and remain that way. And that goes to how we attack certain things, how we do certain things, and making sure that we never forget what it took to create this nation. The liberty, justice, one nation, and all of the things that we enjoy every day, we enjoy because somebody gave up their life for you. And I hope that you take a moment today, you should do it every day, but at least today, to remember that somebody gave you the freedom to go to that barbecue, to have that beer or whatever, that glass of wine, that allowed you to speak your mind and gave you the freedom to move on. And unfortunately, I think that over time, we have given up some of our freedoms to the very troubles and problems that the founding fathers were worried about, and one being too big of a government. And if you look around today and see what's going on, the founding fathers are rolling over saying that we gave up our lives for this, but think about that the next time you go into the voting booth. Think about that the next time you think of a special interest. And remember that our freedom was given up on the sweats of our ancestors. And we need to thank them by continuing the tradition of a strong and free America with not a ridiculous, idiotic government. Because this is the number one place. This is the best. And, you know, we could start off the day with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Obviously, I won't do that, but I do know it, and I remember it, and I think that we, as people, should always remember it, because it is our country. and we have to take care of it as such. If we want our children and their children to enjoy the same freedoms that we do. So, again, at your barbecue, wherever you're going, make sure you raise a glass to the great men and women that gave their lives to give you what you have today. So, this is July 4th, and, of course, it is a holiday for many. And, you know, obviously, we've gone from a holiday for all, and, of course, you know, the almighty buck has continued to drive, and, you know, stores are open now, and, you know, everything is open, so many, many people have to work, so they don't get the enjoyment of the freedom that we've earned. But, of course, there is the double time pay, so hopefully that helps a little bit. But, again, you know, when you look around and you see where we're headed right now in this country, okay, and it starts right now. It happens to be an election year, and it starts right now. I mean, look at what you've got going on here with your two candidates. Okay, I mean, you've got a one that should be indicted, one that has the support of Wall Street because of her easy policies, not because she's going to be good, but because the money's going to continue to flow. You remember we talk about this a lot on the Bubba Show. It's always about the money. Okay. And I think it's time to make it about the country, not the money. Okay. I think it's time that we put aside that, you know, so maybe we'll make a little less to start, but a stronger and cleaner and truer America would be beneficial to all of us. And those of you who are among the very wealthy would do much better if the entire economy and people were supporting your businesses. You know, you think about that, okay, and it would be better for everybody around if we really took care of business and quit dealing with all these special interest crap out there and all of the ridiculous programs that have been set forth and all of these socialistic views, because, again, the founding fathers did not have socialism in their bit of writing the Constitution nor fighting for it. I don't know that anybody would go to fight for socialism. But anyways, you know, it's going to be an interesting week this week. Obviously, it's a short week. It's a holiday week. There is the jobs on Friday, but I see no real change. I don't think that we're going to see Yellen do anything differently, that there is absolutely no chance that this number, no matter what it is going to have them raise rates. You can now assume that rates are going to be at a 0.25% or lower. We have now seen the Swiss 50-year bond go to a negative yields. You can, if we continue on the same path with the same leadership and with the same idiots, then you can assume that eventually we will go to negative rates. So as I salute all the veterans, their families, all the people that have lost their lives on this July 4th, the birth of our country, 240 years ago, think about those things. Think about those people that took one for the team, okay? And the team is America, okay? America the beautiful. And God bless America. It is our land, and we need to take care of it. We need to be better at it, and we need to stop letting things slide on by. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of here for a break, but remember, when you miss an episode, it is libertytalk.fm, and you can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the sports show. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll step out of here for a break.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly an A. Stay with me now.
Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the extremely talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and expert Brexit reporter. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, Todd, just looking forward to the holiday weekend and celebrating the United States.
I agree that it's a great thing to do. So I know last week you were like unbelievably underwater covering Brexit, and now a week later it's like it never happened. So
wow, right? Wow. Could the global financial elites have been more wrong? Now, this thing will draw out, but I love how people who have supported Brexit, I guess we'll call it, are now coming up with reasons why the markets have recovered. So they're saying now that, it may not actually happen, or it's going to take a few years, or it might not happen to the full extent. And so that's why the markets have recovered. I mean, anything to just support their point of view and how they see the world.
But I mean, let me just ask you this. Who cares? I mean, do you, Jane King, really care that the UK pulled out? I mean, they had their own currency before. They never were totally 100% in anyways.
They never took the euro.
Do you care?
I guess it affects their 401k plans. It affected me directly because I had a really busy day, and actually it was good for business, for my business. So, I mean, it was one of those days that you have maybe two or three a year when you work in the TV industry where you really get a chance to stand out. And for me, it was one of those days where I had a command of the information. We organized everything well. So, and it's driven interest rates lower again. So I think actually, in a way, many people benefited from that move.
Well, I mean, all it's really done is bring in that the Fed is not going to raise rates. The markets are going to remain cheap. The money's going to remain cheap. The middle class is still not going to be able to borrow any. And the companies are going to be able to buy back more stocks. So it really hasn't done anything to really change. And I personally believe the Brexit vote itself is the same as people voting for Trump and for Bernie Sanders. And it's just a way of people saying, hey, we, the middle class, are tired of the crap that we're seeing, and you're not benefiting us. We want something for us. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that, people were just, they're very similar in Britain as they are here. I mean, they haven't participated in this growth. They're tired of being told by supposedly educated and highly intelligent people how they should think, what they need to do. They've had policies rammed down their throat. They were told there were great ideas and everybody would benefit. And they haven't seen it happen. I mean, and this has been going on for, 20, 30 years. I mean, if these new policies were going to work, they would have by now. And so I think when everybody was out there with their scare tactics, saying, oh, we're going to have a recession, it could be a depression, everything's going to collapse. They were like, we just don't believe you anymore. I mean, I just think elites don't have any credibility. I mean, they've ruined, the education system. Hardly anybody can afford to go to college anymore. We're getting attacked right and left globally, not just in the U.S., but Turkey and, everywhere else. France, Brussels. I mean, I just don't think people trust the judgment of the elites anymore. I don't think they've been making good decisions over the past few years.
And I could not agree with you more. And again, it goes back to the same old theory that, markets have a way of doing their own thing. And of course, when you stay behind the curve, which I think we've done here pretty poorly, the middle class continues to get the overall needle stuck in the eye, basically. And, it's like, well, we'll be there to bail them out when there's another problem, but we don't get the benefit. And in my opinion, let me get your take on this. I say that the middle class has truly never left the recession that they say has been over for 8 years. What do you say?
No, I mean, there's evidence all over the place of this. I mean, there's, the debt that's out there. There's the people of, the number of Americans under the age of 34 at a record high living with their parents. Very few millennials can live alone, and certainly in the big cities with booming economies. I mean, so what are you supposed to do? I mean, I knew a guy that moved to New York for a job and lived with seven guys in Brooklyn, and not a great neighborhood. Just so he was making like $35,000 a year, but he was getting an entry into New York. He was actually from another country, but was here legally on everything. And lived in the bad part of Brooklyn with seven dudes. I mean, just to come to New York and get started on things. And so there's just evidence right and left. You know, people don't have any money saved. And they've got more money on the Starbucks card than they do in the bank account. I mean, you know, the government can say all they want, but all these private companies like Bankrate and RealtyTrack and all these, you know, are doing these stories and these surveys, and they find out that people are really hurting out there. A large percentage of people don't have a lot of savings, and they're not moving up. And the number of people who consider themselves unemployed, really high percentage right now. I'm working on that story today. So these are people who are working part-time, could be full-time. Maybe they're waitressing when they're really skilled to be, you know, working as a nurse or something like that. So there's a lot of problems out there. Just structurally, this economy has huge problems.
Wait, but President Obama says we only got a 4.7 unemployment rate. What the hell? What's wrong? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you know how this goes. I mean, the government says one thing, and then everybody knows what really is happening. So I just try to report on it all. And I think, you know, of course, you have to do the government numbers because that's just what we do. But I do a lot of these other studies, and there's a lot of really good ones out there that have a better reflection, I think, of what people are actually going through right now. You know, it's interesting. Like, I watch Loretta Lynch. Of course, she's been in the news the past few days, you know, speaking. And she's such a great speaker and just, you know, sounds so intelligent, and I'm sure is intelligent. But I'm like, what a dumb move to meet with Bill Clinton. And I'm like, I think Americans are too taken in by the way people speak. And I think that's what happened with President Obama. I mean, there's nobody as better speaker as he is. I mean, he's a great speaker. He's got this beautiful voice. So I would just encourage people, look at the judgments that people make and try not to be taken in by how somebody talks, and just really look at their track record and what kind of decisions that they're making that affect your life before you actually place a vote or have an opinion.
Do you have an opinion on the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton deal? Do you, I mean, you know, obviously it looks pretty bad. I mean, do you
have... that's terrible. I mean, it is... I just can't, you know, I can't believe that they would meet. Like, I understand they were in the same airport, and I wouldn't expect them to see each other and not say hi. But 30 minutes in a private plane by themselves, I mean, that's just not right. And this is exactly the kind of stuff that people are upset about that makes people so mad. I mean, that they can't have that access. And then, you know, and he's invested. Her decision could change the course of history. And I mean, it's outrageous that it happened. And I understand that she's out today saying that she'll accept whatever recommendation the FBI gives. But I'm like, okay. I mean, that was probably what you should have been doing before this meeting anyway. So it's bad. And it just goes back to the same kind of crony capitalism that we just see over and over and over.
Now, what's your take? Okay. You know, that obviously Wall Street really wants Hillary Clinton to be reelected because they like the status quo. They like the doves. They like this free money. What is your take on that? I mean, are you for them, against them? What do you think?
Well, here's what's happening. People, like groups, like Wall Street, institutions, want the person elected that they can control. And that's why we're seeing so many people in leadership and Republicans don't like Donald Trump. They can't control him. They know that if, you know, they can control him and work with him and influence him, that's what they want. And that's what Wall Street wants with Hillary. You know, she's been very friendly to Wall Street over the years. I mean, given speeches, and which is, you know, another thing that's so interesting to hear Elizabeth Warren supporting her so much. I mean, here we go again. And we get back to that conversation that you and I started last week about party affiliation and how that's really kind of the root of all these problems.
And I mean, I just think it's overall sad. Such a great country like we live in, and we have so many problems that really are unnecessary. You know, when you really look at it, I mean, what happens? We shouldn't have these types of problems, and you know, we're seeing again. I still believe a destruction of the middle class, and now you've got, you know, Bill Clinton meeting on these private journeys, and you know, I don't know how random it was either. That would be another thing that I would say. You know, was it really that random? But hey,
well, of course. Yeah. I mean, how often would that happen that the former president would be around him? My understanding was that he was late. And I was watching a reporter last night who broke the story in Phoenix and was talking about how his plane was late, but he kind of hung around. And I mean, come on. I mean, he's a former president. Like, he's done all these speeches and all these travels. He's not going to stick around for anybody unless he can have some influence with them. And, I mean, that's exactly what it was.
Jane King, we love you. You're the best. You bring good things to life. You and GE to the Kaching Report, Lila Max Media. Jane King, thanks so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you enjoy and salute a veteran on this July 4th and remember where we're from. And we will stop by to have a break. Make sure you get the downloads at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't listening.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And on this July 4th, he is here to, you know, we all work the holidays because the markets never stop and they never go to sleep and they always need our attention. What's up, Matt?
Not a lot. Happy Independence Day.
Yeah, it is. It is a great, and it is Independence. And, you know, I was talking about earlier today that, you know, we got to make sure we take the time to thank everybody and make sure that we don't let our independence slip away. But the markets certainly aren't slipping away. What the hell's going on there?
Yeah, I know. We got a nice bounce last week. I think it's going to be relatively fleeting. I have a pattern in volatility that looks like it wants to bottom and bounce back up again. So if that's the case, we should get another sell-off.
It'd be fleeting like an enema, we hope. I mean, we need we need this market to take a fleet enema because it's been certainly unbelievable. I mean, I think the rally, as you said last week, and we agreed that there was certainly going to be some sort of a rally off of the way that they sold off. I mean, that's just common. But obviously I think the extra amount of strength they showed. What did you make of that buying power late in the week? Did that look like short covering, or what was that to you?
To be honest, I'm just following the price pattern. The buying power behind it, I really don't know where it's coming from. I do know that a lot of a lot of banks were sort of offsides going into the Brexit vote, and a lot of them had bet on a Remain vote. And then we got the leave vote, so maybe they needed the markets to go back up, cover some of their losses. It's hard to know where it came from.
Yeah, and of course, it was the end of a quarter as well. And again, I know you don't account for all that stuff because your stuff is always the charts. And, sure. We stress that here on the show, is that it really is about the technical analysis. The rest of it's a bunch of horse stuff. But yeah. So what are you seeing? What are you previewing for this week? I mean, we got the jobs this week, and there's some information out there. But of course, I know that doesn't affect you. What are you seeing this week?
Well, my focus has been rates recently, the 10-year rate, which keeps going lower, and we were off. We were thinking that right around 1.5 would be it. As of right now, I think 1.38 will be the bottom. So far, we've seen 1.41. You know, that's in the ballpark. Now it's very close. I think 1.38, and then that's it. And then I think, you know, it's just higher from there. So how does that line up with, I'm not really sure actually how that lines up with markets selling off. That would suggest that markets, you know, are going to bounce further. So that's a bit confusing. We also obviously have the jobs number on Friday. Perhaps that's stronger than anticipated. It's hard to know.
Well, you know, I've said for the last year that 1.25 is my number in the is in the 10-year, and of course it's close to 1.38. And you know, last week you said 1.5 was your number, but you wouldn't be surprised if you saw in the low 1.4s, which we did see. So this could be very well it. I mean, again, it comes down to the ability to have the right position out at the right time and see where it goes, Mir. So now, one of the things we noticed last week, which I think was interesting, is the gold markets were higher, the bond markets were higher, and the equities were higher, which in fact does not make sense over the big picture. That is, the money should not be flowing in to all three of those asset classes at one time. And not only were they up, but they were all up huge, which is certainly a problem from just, you know, an emotional standpoint watching it, because it does not make logical sense. What did you make out of all that?
Yeah, that's, you know, you think one of these markets has to be wrong, right? So I'm thinking, since we have a little bit lower in the rate, I would think that we do get another sell off in equities. So I think that's the one that's wrong, is the stock market needs to fall. As far as gold and silver, silver was, you know, just went up 11% last week. Gold was up about 2%. So these are, you know, but gold's been on a sort of a tear for, you know, since the beginning of the year. At this point, you know, we talk about the commercials a lot. We talk about, you know, the big banks and how much they're shorting. And they're in both metals, they're up to all-time record shorts. Their position sizes have never been this big before, including, you know, the tops we got in 2011. So at this point, they're either going to have to jam, in silver in particular, they're going to have to jam that thing back down, or they're going to take massive losses as it runs to the upside. And you may get, this has never happened before as far as I'm aware, but you may get some defectors out of the bank. There's eight large banks that are shorting silver, and they account for the entire short position. And if they continue to take these kind of losses, you might see some defectors from the group. And then it could really unravel to the upside. I don't really think that's going to happen. It's never happened before, but it's silver is definitely in a volatile spot here. It's going to go one way or the other hard. So,
well, certainly we could see, I mean, you know, they're not immune to being squeezed to the short side, but we could also see them, you know, based on their positions and their money and their availability to get money, they could actually continue to short up here, couldn't they?
They could, and if they do, it just, you know, raises the stakes even more. Just to keep it down, they're going to have to short more. So, you know, they also have some levers to pull with the CME group, which, you know, they have a tight relationship, let's say. Back in 2011, when silver was getting up to close to $50 per ounce, there was somebody came in on a Sunday night. It was May 1st, 2011. Somebody came in on a Sunday night when there's no volume and dumped thousands of silver contracts, or maybe it was hundreds, but it really doesn't matter. It was enough that in those thin hours, they dropped silver $6 in less than roughly 10 seconds. And they got the ball rolling to the downside. And when they did, shortly thereafter, CME group raised margin requirements steadily over the next 2 weeks. That was about 5 or 8 different raises, which just makes it more difficult if you're, you know, if you're long and you're now underwater and they're raising margin requirements, you tend to have to liquidate. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of action like that as well.
They created margin calls, forcing people to sell. It's the same old story. And unfortunately, that is part of the business, especially when there's big money involved. So, yes, in fact, as we saw, I think part of the Brexit sell-off was also related to, you know, because they were announcing weeks in advance that they were going to be, you know, they have the ability to change March anytime they want. And they were announcing, and I think that had a problem to do with that as well. So I would not be surprised one bit if they did the banks a favor and squeeze margins higher and somebody came in and knocked it, you know, came in and knocked it down again. It doesn't take that much to get it down. And, you know, certainly if you're short 100,000 contracts, you got to take a loss on a couple of thousand just to get the thing moving in a direction. You know, you kind of say it's like the sacrificial lamb, right? I mean, it happens all the time. You know, unfortunately, those things do happen. So, I mean, globally, markets were flying as well. Is there anything behind all this, in according to the charts?
You know, right now it's a tough read. I have a medium-term pattern that projects, talk about Euro Stoxx 50, medium-term pattern that projects all the way up to 3,200. We're in the 2,800s, so that's a long way up. I just don't see that happening unless we're going to have breakouts in the U.S. where we break to new highs. I could see a false breakout in the S&P getting up to 2142, which we've talked about, but I don't see it going beyond that. So we're up near very strong resistance lines in U.S. Markets. They have a little bit room to run, so I think, you know, a little bit higher is fine. But I can no longer, you know, can't really justify Euro stocks going up, you know, say 10-12% from here without, you know, U.S. breaking to new highs also.
Right. Well, you know, that makes sense. I mean, you know, look, you've been pretty much on top of the market. I mean, you've had it called, you know, fairly well, and you've been, you know, pretty much, you know, you're not surprised at the rally because you said we had that opportunity to rally, you know, last week. So again, you're pretty much, you know, on top of this, the whole situation. And of course, we have the VIX situation or the volatility situation. I know you don't have the report yet, but what's your guess? Did the banks add, or did they puke out? What do you think?
Well, as of you know, last week Tuesday, they did sell more. They had a long position in volatility of around 78,000 contracts, and they sold 16,000. So now they're down to 62,000 net long. So there's still net long volatility. So I'm sure they want to see volatility go higher still. But, you know, we really had a precipitous drop in the VIX. And, you know, usually they buy into weakness like that. So we won't really, you know, get that that information until this week, Friday. So, you know, we'll find out, you know, this Friday whether or not, you know, they really added to it. That's my guess. That they added to it and they still have it.
Right.
And they still have a fairly large, you know, volatility position.
And, of course, you know, obviously – the markets did have, I mean, a major move up and up in the equities, down in the VIX, which under any circumstances should create, even if it's for a day or so, a little bit of a sell-off in the equities and a little bit of a buy in the VIX. But we'll be back after the break and discuss more of this. This is The Bubba Show. I'm with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, who has been pretty much on top of the entire move here, back and forth. And, you know, again, his stuff is really outstanding. Check it out at DemeterResearch.com. You miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horch. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to get more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horch. We'll be right back.
Heading down south to the land of the pine.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horch, with my guy, Matt Demeter. It only took me, a year to get your name right? Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And, you know, again, he's on top of it. And one thing I love about Matt is, you know, when he's right, he says he explains it. When he's wrong, he says, hey, that's why we use stops and we get out. So, Matt, right now we're in a trade that has not worked out particularly well. And it's still not a final score because you're still in it. But it was the original trade, and is still on, is buy wheat, sell beans. And, of course, you know, it was kind of coming back a little bit. Then last week was a pretty ugly week because the beans were like on fire until Friday, and wheat just seems to have lost its luster. You know, I had it benchmarked around that 450, 440 level, and man, it just kind of fell through there too. What are you thinking now in that space?
Yeah, no, this is certainly our worst trade on. Well, in the case of wheat, we think it's right on the edge here as far as where support lies. So at four, it got down to 428 last week, and that's really, you know, stretching our pattern to where it can hold. We've placed a stop at 420, which is actually, you know, a little bit below where it shouldn't even get close. 425 maybe would work, but we place it at 420 just to stay in it. If it goes through that, we're gonna give up on wheat, just because too many bullish patterns will be broken there. As far as soybeans going higher, you know, we went back up close to the highs, you know, not, you know, just under 12. And, you know, we can go back up there. That's fine. If we go above 12, we're going to stop out on the upside. But all the same ingredients are still there as far as how overbought soybeans are and wheat being oversold. And the patterns haven't broken. They're being, you know, the wheat pattern's being stretched, but hasn't broken. The soybeans pattern hasn't really even been stretched yet. It's doing what it's supposed to. Weekly indicators are still overbought for soybeans. And if it peaks, if soybeans peak here, which is, you know, still what I'm maintaining, then the projected levels bring it to new lows, lower than the lows we got, back in February, March.
And I could see that. I mean, again, I personally am short beans. And, you know, I sold at the report. I thought that the initial move was a little bit too wild. And I think, once again, this is one of the things I think that a lot of people get too involved with, in my opinion, and that's they get too involved in the short-term news and not the long-term pattern, which is you care more about the long-term pattern and how every pattern works into the long-term. And I think over time you'll find that the technical research that Matt does far outweighs the value of the short term, you know, stuff that happens, because the short term is always just driven on quick motion or whatever. And I think that's very important to understand. So your prospectus here in the markets remains the same, and you obviously 12 will be your stop out. And now when you look around the currency world now, you know, obviously the dollar rallied pretty hard and then kind of settled back a little bit, but it still looks okay. How does the U.S. dollar look here in the markets?
This has become a little more confusing chart. I think it's peaking out here. I think we should pull back because we have a stronger target support lower, right around 92, which we've already hit. We already hit it, but this isn't a lateral. This isn't a lateral support. It's a rising support that we actually didn't hit back in April or early May. So I would like to see the dollar fall down to that stronger support, and then we can have a stronger rally, you know, into presumably, you know, year end. With that said, we had this spike up during Brexit, and now it's chopping in a manner that looks like a bullish formation that should take it higher. So, you know, we're actually long euro right now. We've made about a little over a percent, and we're going to hold that this week. We're probably going to take it off or lighten up right before the jobs report, just because it basically could go in either direction. But my preference is actually, you know, lower for the dollar for one more dip and then a big bounce.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would, the truth of the matter is from a fundamental standpoint, that would tie in, because the dip down, I mean, the dollar should not be rallying unless the Fed is going to raise rates here, and they're not raising rates anytime soon. So that should create a little bit of pressure on the dollar, which, and of course, we know that Super Mario and the Bank of England have already said that, you know, they're warming up the helicopters to spend out some more free cash. So we'll see how that works out. Is there anything? So in a short week, Matt, holiday week with a big data point at the end of the week. Again, I know you don't play the data, you play the chart. But is there anything that you do especially when you come into a week like this? I mean, it's obviously short, and it's got big number at the end, and we just came off of some major movement. Is there anything you do differently to prepare, or is it exactly the same as you always do?
It's the same as we always do, because, you know, the data, you can never be sure how it's going to come out. I mean, sometimes you can if the chart is just absolute that you're on a, you know, support or resistance, say in the dollar or rates or something like that. You have an idea what a result will be. You know, and like you said, I don't think the Fed's going to raise rates unless we have just a blowout jobs number, in which case they, you know, maybe they will. But no, I don't really do much different. For this week, what I'm really going to try to do just is watch, you know, I am going to watch the short term patterns because I think there's a good chance equities peak here and that volatility, watching that very closely. We're looking for a bottom in VIX at right around 1290. So call it, you know, 13 or high 12s. And that's where we think volatility will bottom and that we'll get a big rally in volatility and therefore a sell-off in stocks.
All right. So, again, and one of the things that I like to talk about, and I want to get your views on this, is, you know, to me, you know, they'll ask me when I'm on air and say, well, you know, what about this? I go, look, that's already priced into the market. And the only thing that will be wrong is that they mispriced it or it's exactly what they expected. And you'll typically get a movement the opposite way because markets are extremely efficient at pricing in news, whether it be earnings, jobs, because those are all numbers today with today's technology that can almost be pre-calculated by almost anybody if you know the right formulas to look at. What do you think?
Yeah, just, you know, the news is being priced in.
The news is priced into the chart. I mean, when you're looking at a chart, I mean, they're already pricing in what they're expecting. By the time the announcement comes in, the number is basically almost priced in already. Isn't that how you look at the chart? I mean, you don't look at the news, so.
Yeah, there's enough market participants that I think already know what's, you know, what's going to happen, that it is priced in by the time the event gets there.
So, I mean, again, I'm just a guy that, you know, believes that there can be a mistake, but today, with all the technology out there, the information, it's so easy to kind of figure out what the numbers will be ahead of time that there shouldn't be any dramatic surprise in those numbers, and it's not something that should be totally unexpected. So, I mean, all you do is do the jobless claims, for example. You get your general idea of what the jobs number is going to be. So you don't follow the news, but you're actually following the news because the charts are directing the market one direction or another based on your levels, and you'll make a trade. And you may not know it's because of what the news is going to be, but that will end up usually supporting your position, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, when the chart is going to tell you exactly, it's like you're saying, it's telling you in advance what kind of news is going to come out. You may not really understand what it's saying, and sometimes you get surprise news, like some central bank comes out and changes their policy at an unexpected time. So we essentially are following the news. We try not to, you know, sometimes you want to avoid volatility around a known event, which sometimes will lighten up positions, but otherwise we just try to essentially ignore it.
Right, exactly. And again, it's all it is. I try to teach everybody your methods, which is forget about, you could turn everything off and just look at the charts, and that'll give you all the answers you need. Everything else is really meaningless because all it will do is create a short-term reaction, but eventually the chart should follow the charts. This has been Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, thanks so much, and a happy Independence Day, and enjoy your family.
Todd, same to you, and thanks a lot for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have on Matt Demeter, who really lays it out. And again, you can see by his answers that he's just purely looking at the charts. And I'm sure he does what I do. He's watching Seinfeld or some movie during the day and not watching the ridiculous news, because all the news is drive you crazy. He looks at his charts and he continues to price out and project patterns. Check out DemeterResearch.com, Matt Demeter. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to take it off for the day here now and go enjoy some time with our family and friends. Make sure you salute the veterans and make sure you take a moment and think about what was done to make this country great. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Happy Independence Day. And again, kiss and salute a soldier. We love you. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
I want to feel its way.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.